Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
Perhaps the most controversial moment at last week's State of the Union address came because President Biden refused to say the name Laken Riley, the young Georgia student who was murdered allegedly by an illegal alien. Republicans wore buttons. I wore a button. I was given one by the congressman who invited me, Andy Ogles. A lot of the Republicans down there even heckled the president to say her name, which after enough pressure, he finally did.
Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
It was a dramatic moment. He didn't get her name right. He actually named the head of the USC football team. But I think he tried to say her name. It had been a huge oversight that this major case over the major crisis going on right now, the border crisis, Biden had not put into the speech. So he said it after he was shamed into doing it. Now President Biden has formally apologized. But he didn't apologize for attempting to exclude the young American victim from his speech. Instead, he apologized for referring to her illegal alien murderer as an illegal.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing. We have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Yes, yes, because foreign murderers built the country. Foreign murderers who crossed illegally with the help of satanic gangs and then were arrested multiple times and then murdered an innocent little college girl. They built the country. They're the backbone of this nation, of course. The left has tended to take the side of our nation's enemies and persecutors for many decades now. But now, I think we have reached the apotheosis of this suicidal trend. The president of the United States is now apologizing for telling the truth even once and thereby possibly hurting the feelings of a foreign criminal who broke into our country to murder a young American girl whose name he doesn't know. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. One last gasp of infighting in the GOP as former presidential candidate Ron DeSantis knocks former presidential candidate Nikki Haley for not endorsing Trump, who is now the nominee of the party, as Trump is consolidating his total control over the RNC. We'll get to that in a moment. First, though, you've got to subscribe to the Michael Knowles YouTube channel. Smash the subscribe button and ring the bell and light the candle. Make sure you light the Smells and Bells candle that you can get at dailywire.com/shop. You might also consider lighting a delicious Mayflower cigar if you want. That you could light a lot of things as we begin this show today. No surprise that Biden would side with the illegals. He's done it repeatedly. This is the defining crisis of his presidency. This is a presidency defined by crises, and yet this is the distinctive one, the defining one, even among those crises. Forget about World War III breaking out potentially in Eastern Europe and the Middle East. Forget about the economic turmoil. This is it. I mean, we've never seen a border quite so open. We've never seen the federal government quite so actively ushering in a foreign invasion and refusing to prosecute even the most criminal elements of that invasion, to the point that when they go and murder an innocent little college student, Biden apologizes to the murderer. Now on the streets of New York, MS-13, which is not only a foreign gang, it's not only one of the gangs facilitating the invasion of foreigners into our country, it's a satanic gang. It is a gang that actually engages in overt satanic rituals. I mean, these are some of the worst people on the face of the earth. MS-13 is now in the open on the streets of New York selling fake green cards. So right now, for between $80 and $250, according to the New York Post, you can go out, go along Roosevelt Avenue in Queens, and you'll find a bunch of guys. The Post spotted at least 10 men camped out in broad daylight on four different corners right there on Roosevelt Avenue selling the bogus documents. And these forged social security numbers can then be used to open up a bank account, potentially to obtain a real driver's license. I'm sure the Democrats would be thrilled if this helps them to register to vote. My question here is not, can you imagine the shock? I'm not shocked at all. I'm not surprised this is happening really at all. Even that it's happening in broad daylight, even that the cops could arrest these guys, but even if they did arrest these guys, the DAs aren't going to prosecute. Even if the DAs did prosecute, Biden's Immigration and Customs Enforcement wouldn't actually deport, because Biden wants them here because he's invited them in. What is striking to me is how many things had to go wrong for this to happen. You had to have the border not be secure, which means you had to have the federal government make the call not to secure it. You had to have the states try to secure it and the federal government shut down the states like Texas from securing it. You then had to elect a ton of left-wing DAs all around the country. You then had to persuade the American people, rank and file Democrat voters at least, for decades in the education system that they had no right as Americans to secure their own border, that they had no right to have their own laws and to enforce their own laws. You furthermore had to totally destroy America's confidence in her own national identity, to the point that not only would you not be able to refer to illegal aliens as illegal aliens, it's probably the most clinical neutral term you can use for these people, but furthermore, you had to believe that they were somehow entitled to the rights of citizens. No other country on earth believes this about themselves. Somehow we've been able to do that. And then you had to even normalize the satanic gang, MS-13. So I guess you'd have to normalize crime and Satanism, for that matter, both of which have been normalized in recent decades. And now, and only after that process, can you go to Roosevelt Avenue and buy a fake green card. It's not as simple even as deport. Obviously, these guys should be deported. They should be arrested. They should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and then eventually deported. But the rot goes so much deeper than that. That's like the tip of the iceberg over this rot that the left has wrought. Meanwhile, the left-wing leaders and commentariat are mocking American voters for even meekly voicing their objections to this. Jen Psaki, former spokesman for the president, and Rachel Maddow, my doppelganger, my liberal alter ego, were on MSNBC laughing about Virginia voters. So we're not even talking about far right-wing Texas, Tennessee voters. We're talking about Virginia. Virginia is a purple commonwealth. The fact that Virginia voters are very concerned, according to surveys, about illegal immigration, they think this is downright hilarious.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build the wall. Like, what?
All right, you heard my doppelganger there. That was the punchline. Well, you know, Virginia has a lot of borders with Mexico, doesn't it? No, it doesn't, of course. That's what's so silly, Virginia. It's all the way up, halfway up the East Coast. So why would Virginia voters be concerned about illegal immigration? Well, one, because we live in America. We live in a single country. So even if illegals are brought into Texas or Arizona or California, that affects us. It affects the apportionment of congressional seats. Don't forget, the apportionment of congressional seats, how much representation different states get in the U.S. Congress, is based on the census. And the census is based on pure population. It's not based on citizenship. It's not based on voter eligibility. So you flood the country with illegals. Whoever gets those illegals is going to get more representation in the Congress. But furthermore, put that aside for a second. The illegals are ending up in Virginia, too. What the Psaki and Maddow mockery here displays is not only a perverse political ideology that they share, it displays ignorance of the basic facts of illegal immigration. The Biden administration is flying these illegals all over the country. And it's not just Republicans pointing this out, by the way. It's New York City Mayor Eric Adams who's saying, stop these illegals from coming to New York. Stop sending them here. It's destroying New York City. And he tried to have an appointment to meet with Joe Biden about this at the White House. And then coincidentally, just before that meeting was to take place, there was a corruption investigation launched into Eric Adams. And then he started to back off the illegal immigration issue. The Democrats are flying these people all over the country. These illegal aliens are making it to Virginia. You can't flood the country with millions and millions of illegals every single year and think it's all going to be confined to El Paso or something. There's a lot in El Paso, but this is a big, wide country, and it's affecting voters. Can you imagine how out of touch you've got to be? Not just on ideology, not even just on facts, but with the desires of voters. When the voters are coming to you and they're saying, hey, this problem is a big problem. This is really bothering me. This is a top priority for me, this election. It's like Principal Skinner in The Simpsons. You look at it, you say, well, all the children are telling me. Is it possible that I'm out of touch? No, it is the children who must be wrong. And on mass migration, it's even crazier because this has been an issue, one, that got Donald Trump elected in 2016, two, that might get him elected again in 2024, but three, got us the Brexit in the United Kingdom, helped to get Viktor Orban installed in power in Hungary, helped to elect Giorgia Meloni the first time around, even though Meloni hasn't been all that strong on migration, helped to push right-wing movements all throughout the West. And Maddow and Psaki and the liberals look at that. They say, for 10 years now, at least, the right throughout the entire Western world has said that illegal immigration is a big problem. Nah, they're probably just mistaken. They probably don't really care. That leads to a lot of political instability. There's so much more to say. First, though, text Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to 989898. While financial experts anticipated rate cuts, inflation in the United States is still a significant economic concern. Think about it. The U.S. is in the hole by $34 trillion, and yet we keep printing money, which raises prices on everyday items even higher. You can bury your head in the sand about it, or you can do something about it. Consider diversifying at least a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They will help you convert your existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you won't pay a penny out of pocket. Gold is part of my savings strategy, and I strongly recommend and trust Birch Gold. They have been the exclusive gold partner of The Daily Wire for over 7 years, helping thousands of our listeners, and they can help you too. Text Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to 989898. Get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metal specialist about protecting your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to 989898 now. Speaking of liberals being out of touch, a liberal Congress lady, Susan Wild from Pennsylvania, she's got a really novel, really insightful take on abortion, which is cropping up again. You know, President Biden's State of the Union focused largely on abortion and other matters of human dignity, the origin and destiny of human life. He was pushing the surrogacy industry a lot. And Susan Wild, she's solved the debate. Here's her remarkably insightful take on abortion.
Some people do believe that abortion is wrong, that it's taking the life of a child. And the answer to that is those people are not being required to have an abortion.
Oh, okay. That clears it up. Gee, I've never heard that before. You know what's funny? I obviously have heard this stupid line before.
If you object to abortion, then just don't get an abortion.
Yeah, okay. If you object to genocide, then just don't do a genocide. Okay, yeah. That's fine. If you object to kicking orphans in the head,
then you just shouldn't kick orphans in the head. But don't infringe on all of our rights to kick orphans in the head.
Okay, lady. But I guess in a certain sense, I haven't heard it put this way before because she accidentally gave away the game. She didn't merely say, if you oppose abortion, just don't get one, which is usually what you hear. She said, look, some people think that abortion is murder, that it's killing an innocent baby. And if you think that, then you don't have to get one. That's a little bit different. The way it's usually framed is as a preference. You know, you like chocolate, I like vanilla. And so we don't need to make any hard and fast rules about ice cream here. You just, you know, de gustibus non disputandum est. Right? That's why restaurants have menus. But here, the Democrat Congress lady, almost certainly unwittingly, is introducing the prospect of reason, of a reasoned argument. She says, some people think they've used their reason to come to a conclusion about reality, which applies to all of us. And they have, through their reason, arrived at the conclusion that happens to be correct, that killing an innocent baby is killing an innocent baby, and therefore is morally unacceptable. And then she undermines all of that by saying, so look, if you sincerely think that, and perhaps it's even reasonable to think that, then you don't have to do it. But we love killing innocent little babies. We love murdering the most vulnerable people in the country. So stop trying to get us to put an end to it. Really stark relief. Really, really stark relief. It shows you, even beyond the abortion issue, that individualism is ultimately incoherent as a political organizing principle. Because individualism presumes that we're all just individuals. You know, we're all atoms floating in outer space. But politics begins when more than one of us is living together. Sometimes politics, the etymology is defined as poly, meaning many, and tics, meaning blood-sucking leeches. So, you know, politics, that's what politicians are like. But there's actually some truth to that, in that politics refers to the polis, you know, the city-state, where we all live together. Involves the public. Wherever two or more are gathered, not only is there a religious implication to that, as our Lord tells us in the gospel, but there's also just a basic political implication, which is we got to figure out how to live together. And so individualism, look, we all have individual rights, we all have individual preferences, but individualism as a governing philosophy doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense when we're talking about it on the extreme right of libertarianism, you know, do whatever you want, just don't make me pay for it kind of thing, because then society degrades and you are affected by that. Even your wealth, even your property is affected by that. But it also certainly doesn't make sense on the extreme left of liberalism. They say, look, maybe you've correctly arrived at the conclusion that abortion is murdering an innocent baby, but like, don't yuck my yum, man. You know, I want to, and you don't have any right to tell me not to. It just doesn't make sense. Also, this issue alone makes it unacceptable for Christians to vote for Joe Biden. I made this point in 2020, certainly. I may have made it in 2016. Not all issues are created equal, okay? Some issues, there can be reasonable disagreement over, say, tax rates, over, say, immigration policy to some extent. Even over a matter such as the death penalty, there can be some reasonable disagreement. On certain issues, like slaughtering innocent babies, there really can't be. Because even if we're looking at politics from the perspective of rights, which I think is usually misguided, but it's the way people talk today. But even if you're looking at politics from the perspective of rights, some rights are more fundamental than others. The right to drive a car, it's actually not a right, it's a privilege, is less fundamental than the right to self-defense, which we see enshrined in the Second Amendment. The right to life is the fundamental right, without which none of the other rights can possibly exist. So it is contrary to reason. It's contrary to common sense. And it's contrary to the natural law to undermine the right to life and to enshrine murder as a not only as acceptable, but now as a good, as a positive good, according to the president and the Democrats. It is unacceptable. The Catholic Church has been very clear about this, consistently clear forever, which is that when you have an option to vote for a candidate who supports the mass slaughter of infants and a candidate who does not, you got to pick the one who does not, okay? There's a little bit more complexity to it, but not very much. And in this case, Biden has made it absolutely clear. He takes a fanatically, downright sacramental view of abortion. All the Democrats do. This lady, Susan Wild, in Pennsylvania, rather, does. That's that. That basically does it. And so we're looking ahead to 2024. Who's the nominee? President Trump is the nominee. I have predicted from the beginning that Trump would be the nominee. I said during the primary, I'm not going to endorse a candidate in the primary. I like that primaries happen generally. I really like Governor DeSantis, obviously a big supporter of what he's done in Florida. I personally really like Nikki Haley, actually, even. I know she's kind of on the other end of the Republican Party to where most of the conservatives are these days. And obviously, I've been a big supporter of President Trump as well. So I said, hey, we'll let the primary take place. And a lot of times on the show, I probably said more nice things about the other candidates even than I did about Trump. But I always said, and I said it from the beginning, I always knew Trump was the nominee. Just as a pure a political matter. You know, it's just he'd been running for much longer. He had much more of a head start. He dominated the zeitgeist in 2016 and 2020. He had redefined the Republican Party in so many ways. He was the real thing, you know, and he had been the president. So he was running as a quasi-incumbent already. And then, hate to say I told you so, that prediction turned out to be true. Now the president has remade the Republican Party after his own image. He's catching a lot of flack for this. Ronna McDaniel is out of the RNC officially. Michael Whatley, the North Carolina Republican who backed Trump pretty consistently, he is now the party's new national chairman, or he's set to be elected that way. And Laura Trump, who is the president's daughter-in-law, has become the co-chairman of the Republican Party. And oh boy, the anti-Trump forces, specifically on the right, are furious about this. They're saying this is nepotism. This is so unseemly. This is contrary to the great dignity of the party of Ronald Reagan. But the thing that they forget is that Ronald Reagan did the exact same thing. And the thing that not only did he install his daughter-in-law to be the co-chairman, that's not what happened exactly. He installed his actual daughter. So you go back, I just Googled this. It was 1980s, I think it was 1987. Maureen Reagan, Ronald Reagan's daughter, became the co-chairman of the GOP, of the RNC, which reminded me something that many of the self-styled Reaganites today hate. They hate to acknowledge this. Donald Trump is very clearly the political heir to Ronald Reagan in the Republican Party. It's not even really all that close right now. There is so much more to say, but first, go to puretalk.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Free ought to mean exactly that, free. When you switch to Pure Talk today, you will get a free Samsung 5G smartphone. There's no four-line requirement. There's no activation fee. There's no this fee or that fee. Just a free Samsung that is built to last with a rugged screen, quick charging battery, and top-tier data security. Qualifying plans start at just $35 a month for unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data, and a mobile hotspot. Pure Talk gives you phenomenal coverage on America's most dependable 5G network. It is the same coverage you know and love, but for half the price of the other guys. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year. Plus, with Pure Talk, you know you're spending your hard-earned money with a company that aligns with your beliefs. Let PureTalk's expert U.S. customer service team help you make the switch today. Go to puretalk.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to claim eligibility for your free brand new Samsung 5G smartphone and start saving on wireless today. Go to puretalk.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to switch to my cell phone company. Not I don't own the cell phone company, but I have the service and the phone. Go to puretalk.com/Knowles. Like it or not, maybe you hate Donald Trump. Maybe you like him. Maybe you love him. Donald Trump is clearly the most credible political heir to Reagan. His appointment of his daughter-in-law to the number two spot in the GOP is just the latest similarity. But if you're saying, hey, who do we compare to Ronald Reagan here? And for the last 30 years in Republican politics, the game has been, who can most resemble Ronald Reagan? Well, let's consider it. Is it some lawyer, politician who worked his way up as defines probably 85% of the GOP? Or is it the eccentric Hollywood celebrity, check, check, who has a little bit of a controversial personal and married life that was a political issue for both of them early in their careers, check, check, who represented a more populist wing of the party over the more established wing and Washington, D.C.-based wing, check, check, who supported tariffs over the objections of the doctrinaire free traders, check, check, who was rhetorically more bellicose than most establishment Republicans, but practically more of a dove when it comes to foreign policy, check, check, who was, I mean, the list goes on and on, who was older than most of the Republicans running for the race, on and on and on. So it's not a one-to-one. History doesn't actually repeat itself. But Trump has clearly modeled his political career after Ronald Reagan. He uses Reagan's slogan, "Make America Great Again." That was a Reagan slogan first. And Trump took it. I think there was some charity auction years ago where I read that Trump bought one of Ronald Reagan's watches. The one, you know, he clearly has an admiration for Reagan. And a lot of the self-styled Reagan conservatives, the Reaganites, or even the Buckleyites, you know, of today, I think that had they been around for the men in their times, a lot of them are much younger and came about at the very end of the Reagan and Buckley movements, or maybe even after those guys were off the scene, I think a lot of them would not have supported the men in their prime. Now it's sort of safe to be a Reaganite. Now it's safe to be a Buckleyite because, you know, they're dead and the history already happened. But in the moment, it was quite controversial. It was a remaking of the Republican Party, and that's what we're witnessing today, another remaking of the Republican Party. So speaking of Hollywood celebrities, a lot of them are terrified about Trump potentially winning a second term. Robert De Niro just came out and he said, if Trump wins re-election, he's going to come looking for De Niro.
Nothing at all. Nothing redeemable in him. And whoever the people are who want to vote for him, and there look like intelligent people around there, somebody, for some reason, it can't be. It cannot be. If he wins the election, you won't be on the show anymore. He'll come looking for me. There'll be things that happen that none of us can imagine. That's what happens in that kind of a dictatorship, which is what he says. Let's believe him. Take him at his word.
I did from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, I said from the very beginning, this guy is never going to concede power. And he still hasn't.
No.
He still hasn't. He just admitted he lost the last election. And he advertises that he will go on. He says he's been cheated out of one term. So maybe we should get rid of the only a president only gets two terms thing.
It seems to me that I've heard this song before. It's from an old familiar score. We know that this stuff won't happen because this kind of language might have worked when Trump was running the first time. It doesn't work now because he's already been president. And he did leave office, even after they rigged the election. He left office. He gave a few angry speeches about it, but he left office. And now he's running again. And he didn't jail Robert De Niro. He probably doesn't think about Robert De Niro all that much. And he didn't take Bill Maher's program off TV. And none of that happened. You want to talk about narcissism. And then even, again, getting back to this point about Trump and Reagan, now the liberals have a strange new respect for Reagan. Oh, the great old days of Ronald Reagan. If Donald Trump wins, he's going to try to repeal term limits for the president. Ronald Reagan spent his post-presidency doing exactly that. That people forget this now because they selectively edit out the history of these men that now so many of the squishes revere. Bill Buckley, he was a great, so urbane, so anodyne. Bill Buckley was a McCarthyite. Bill Buckley wrote a book defending Joe McCarthy and McCarthyism. He said, McCarthyism is a moral crusade around which all Americans of strong moral fiber can rally, okay? Oh, we forget about that. Bill Buckley said we need a more closed, not a more open society where we jail Nazis and communists simply for their political views. All of the, you know, free speech absolutists today, they forget about that part. Ronald Reagan spent his post-presidency campaigning for two things. It was cut a bit short, obviously, because he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and he left public life. But for the few years where he was in public life, he campaigned for gun control and a repeal of the 22nd Amendment, which term limits presidents. Donald Trump, he might do. Yeah, okay. If he did, I guess if he did that, he'd be even more like Ronald Reagan. But it's not just Reagan and Trump, by the way. Bill Clinton has suggested the same. Bill Clinton, leaving the presidency, said that the 22nd Amendment, if it doesn't need to be totally repealed, it should be edited. It should be altered because people are living longer. So Bill Clinton's suggestion was, okay, a president can only serve two consecutive terms, but then he ought to be able to leave office and then run for another term. So you actually have bipartisan consensus. Reagan, Clinton, two of the most popular presidents of their respective parties in recent memory, and Donald Trump, who's the current nominee. So popular, he's the nominee again. All calling for the thing that Bill Maher describes as a mark of tyranny and dictatorship or something. It's just very silly. It speaks to the same issue that we're talking about with Psaki and Maddow, which is it's not merely that the libs and the squishes in the Republican Party all have an ideology that is perverse or disordered. It's that they are ignorant of really basic facts of really recent political history. So finally, the race is solidified, right? We've got Biden's a nominee for the Democrats, even though they want Newsom, even though they want whatever, it's Biden. They want Michelle Obama, whatever they're talking about. And for the Republicans, it's Trump. And now you've got to the point where Ron DeSantis, who was the most credible threat for most of the race against Donald Trump, has now endorsed Trump and is attacking Nikki Haley, who at the end of the race became the most credible threat against Trump, but it was never a very serious threat. He's attacking Haley for not endorsing Trump.
I signed the pledge, and you signed the pledge saying that you're going to not take your ball and go home. And so I honored the pledge, and she's going to have to make a decision about whether she wants to or not. But the idea that somehow circumstances have changed, I think we all knew what we were doing when we did that. And you got to make a judgment about whether that's meaningful to you. And so for me, I tell people, you know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
I think that's the right thing to do. I think not only is it the right thing to do morally, but I think politically it's the smart thing to do too. So if I were advising Nikki Haley, don't forget, while the race was still going on, I said that Nikki Haley has every right to stay in the race. And even when all the Republicans were calling for her to drop out, I said, look, she doesn't have necessarily a political incentive to drop out right now. And she doesn't quite have the political ability. So I was all for her running as long as she wanted to. But now that she has dropped out, it looks really bad for her to come out and say, well, yeah, I said that I would endorse the eventual nominee so that I could get on the debate stage, but that was just a cynical lie. I don't actually want to do that. You know, it's a bad look. And so I don't know why Nikki Haley's advisors are telling her to do that, but I think it's hurting her long term. I think she actually still does have a pretty strong political future. I think that's why she stayed in the race for a long time. I think she played her cards very well and is a talented politician, but this is a very bad look, and I think DeSantis is totally right here. Trump is the nominee. This is why now I've just accepted an invitation for an event. It's for a great group called Catholics for Catholics. I love that name. That's a great, really tells you exactly what the group is about. It's a political group, Catholics for Catholics, and they're doing an event to support a Catholic political vision for 2024 and specifically to pray for President Trump. And so this is going to be an event at Mar-a-Lago. Would I have accepted this invitation while the GOP primary was still going on? Probably not, because I don't think it's really my role to be campaigning for candidates. We don't even really, as a general rule, we don't hit the campaign trail too often here at the Daily Wire. We just don't think that's really our role in the conservative movement and the party. But in this case, there's no more primary race. There's no more campaign. It's now Trump versus Biden. And so I'm excited to join this group down there at Mar-a-Lago, and I think it's very important. You know, in this case, this is for Catholic political action. I think it's true broadly for religious people to make your voices heard. President Biden has made it very, very clear that he is attempting to undermine, to continue to undermine his putative faith. I mean, the man says he's Catholic, and yet he undermines core aspects of Catholic teaching, specifically on political issues. We know that the atheists and the secularists and the liberals are very, very aggressive at persecuting Christians, Catholics in particular. Don't forget, Biden sicked his DOJ and FBI on Catholic churches to go spy on us, and the memos whether Biden did it, you know, consciously or whether it was just his administration that did it remains to be seen. I don't know that Biden knows his own name, but we know the administration did it. We know the administration lied about it. We know they're going after all sorts of religious people and pro-lifers and homeschoolers and all the rest, insinuating that we're domestic terrorists or something because we think boys and girls are different, because we think that God exists, because we think that parents ought to have some right to raise their children in a proper way and not according to the disastrous delusions of leftism. Well, if you believe that, then maybe you want to take some actual political action. It's a little bit different. It's good to give money to charity. You should do that too, you know, directly going out, helping the poor. But we should not fall into a political quietism, and a religious and political quietism that says, you know, Christians should never do anything in politics. I think that's been a huge mistake in recent decades. It's totally not in keeping with the with many, many centuries of the Christian tradition. And it's contrary to even America's founding. You know, America was founded to be a model of Christian charity, a shining city on a hill. You know, our early ancestors were pilgrims who came here on the Mayflower. You know, our early statesmen gave thanks to God. We believe in our Declaration of Independence that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That's the fact that the nation is predicated on. So if you believe that, it's very important to take some political action. And political action means you got to support real things in real time in politics during real elections. That's an important thing to do. And now the time of the primary is over. The candidates had their chances and it was probably already baked in from the beginning. But now there's a nominee and most of the candidates have gotten on board, like Ron DeSantis here. Some have not yet, but conservatives need to now stand up and do things. Unity is a very important aspect of politics.
Let's be real. French fries are the only good vegetable out there. But unfortunately, they're not a very healthy vegetable. Balance of Nature fruit and veggie capsules are the most convenient way to get your daily intake of fruits and vegetables. You know, like the kind of vegetables that actually count. Balance of Nature uses an advanced cold vacuum process that encapsulates fruits and vegetables into whole food supplements without sacrificing their natural antioxidants. The capsules are completely void of additives, fillers, extracts, synthetics, pesticides, or added sugar. The only thing in Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules are fruits and veggies. You need nutrients to function at your best each and every day. Balance of Nature helps you do just that. Go to balanceofnature.com and use promo code WIRE to get 35% off your first fruits and veggie set and an additional $10 off every additional set you buy. That's balanceofnature.com, promo code WIRE.
Now, the iconic leftist tears tumbler is back. Everybody wants one. There's only one way to get it, and that is by becoming a Daily Wire Plus annual member. Not only does your annual membership give you unparalleled access to ad-free, uncensored shows from your favorite Daily Wire hosts, on-demand hit movies, series, and groundbreaking documentaries, but now that membership also includes our Leftist Tears Tumblr. Soccer moms have their Stanley Cups, but what about you? You are raising the bar with the iconic Leftist Tears Tumblr. New Daily Wire Plus Insider annual members get a free Tumblr, or put your money where your values are and join the front line in the fight to reshape culture with an all-access membership and get two Leftist Tears tumblers for free. Join now and get your free Leftist Tears tumbler at dailywireplus.com. My favorite comment on Friday is from Steel Wookie. It says, this was not a State of the Union address. It was a State of My Election campaign address. That's true. And it's true in more ways even perhaps than you are intending to mean, which is that the State of the Union always serves a campaign purpose. Because at least during an election year, obviously a lot of eyeballs are on the president who, if he's running for re-election, wants to capitalize on that. But it's also the state of his campaign right now because he was just weak and screaming the whole time. And I think it's because the Biden campaign knows they're in a lot of trouble right now. And the polls, which thus far in the GOP primary at least have been quite accurate, the polls are not looking good for Joe Biden. And the forecast is not looking good for Joe Biden either. It's a good sign for us, isn't it? It's a very good sign. And one final point on how we undertake political action, by the way, I've noticed some of the Never Trump accounts are upset that I'm doing this event for Catholics for Catholics at Mar-a-Lago on the Feast of St. Joseph, because they don't like that prayer is associated with religious political action. Prayer is not the last resort. prayer is the first resort to religious political action. If you are religious and you are engaged in politics, you should, of course, go to prayer first. You would hope that religious political action would entail some prayer. And so this is the sort of thing, look, if you want to go and fund a big political campaign, then you can show up to these kind of fundraiser dinners. But you don't need to. You don't need to be in the Palm Beach area to do that. You can pray, and prayer is very good, and prayer is very effective. And at decisive moments in the history of our civilization, I'm thinking of some of the most famous ones, the Battle of Poitiers, the Battle of Lepanto, the Battle of Vienna. Prayer has probably been the decisive factor in God's all-ordaining providence. Okay, now, speaking of battle lines becoming clearer, RuPaul, I actually don't really know who RuPaul is. I know the name. I've seen him for many years. I guess he's a drag queen, but he's a guy, and I don't know, but he's a TV celebrity. And RuPaul has a side project. It's an all-inclusive bookstore. All-inclusive. And RuPaul initially did not even just mean all-inclusive in the way that all the liberals do, which is all the liberal stuff. He said, no, we're going to have everything here. On this website, they sold Mein Kampf, okay? This is a book that virtually nobody in the United States would defend, Adolf Hitler's memoir. He said, we're putting it up there. We want Mein Kampf. That's so controversial. We're going to have all the books here. And we're going to have genderqueer. This is the gay porn that the libs are pushing on elementary school students. And we're going to have conservative books. Number of conservative. I don't know if my books were included, though they certainly should have been. I can't even check now because the conservative books have been banned from the shop. Unclear if Hitler's book is still there, but the American conservative books have been banned. So they open up, they say, we're a marketplace for all books and all stories with a focus on elevating marginalized voices. You may find books you disagree with. All Store has made the decision to carry all books. Censorship of any book, perspective, or story is incompatible with the survival of democracy. Banning books is never the answer. I'm just reading from the website. What used to be written on the website before they deleted all this stuff, before they deleted all the conservative books. We cannot fight the ideologies of hate if we lack the ability to study, understand, and react to them. We do that by reading books. Oops, JK, never mind. Delete. They deleted. Because they got a lot of pushback from their audience, which is fair enough. As you might not be surprised to hear, I'm on the side of the bookstore here. If I open a bookshop, I don't want to carry Mein Kampf. Unless I'm opening some, you know, very niche, historical kind of bookshop. I don't really see the need to do that. I guess if I were a huge bookseller, Barnes & Noble, then I would maybe sell a much wider array of books of historical import and the rest. But if I were a little curated side project bookstore here, I probably would. Certainly not going to carry genderqueer. Certainly not going to carry this gay porn that they're trying to push on 10-year-olds. Why would I do that? What's the point of that? The conservatives here are going to point to these liberals and say, aha, see, you're not really for all voices. You support book bans. You might support book burning. By the way, don't forget, book burning is just a more evocative, visible expression of book banning. They signify the exact same thing. So one seems more provocative. One seems more in your face. But it's the exact same thing. When the liberals are censoring some conservative tweets or whatever, when the conservatives are kicking perfectly ordinary books out of their bookshops, they are doing effectively the exact same thing as any rally burning books would do. But then again, wise thinkers for all of history on all different parts of the political spectrum have defended book bans and even book burning. You're not really allowed to say it these days, but the libs are doing it. The libs are doing it all the time. And conservatives probably ought to get hip to the jive too, because what the libs are saying here is, look, we have an audience, and our audience doesn't want this stuff. Our audience wants to live according to certain norms and standards, and they think that certain views are just beyond the pale and actually would undermine the kind of community and the standards that we have cultivated here. And they don't want to have to deal with it. I think that's perfectly normal. That's how all people always have been. And conservatives ought to adopt that view too. RuPaul, in principle, he's right. in practice, all these books are wrong, and he needs to swap them out for the books that he banned, like, you know, all the American conservative authors. But in principle, he's right. Now, speaking of weird sex stuff, wouldn't be a show if we didn't get to a little weird sex stuff. Great news out of the Republic of Ireland. Ireland, which had been the Catholic country, hardcore, you know, those fighting Irish, those stubborn Irish, they just wouldn't give up on their culture. In recent years, they've gone a little bit lib. They've started normalizing all sorts of nasty sexual revolution stuff. Well, they just had the opportunity to amend their constitution to enshrine woke family policy, to take away the specific role of women in and mothers in Irish society, and to redefine the family to include, you know, a couple of dudes or a couple of chicks or three dudes and a billy goat or whatever people say that is now. And despite this negative trend for 10 years in Ireland, voters overwhelmingly rejected the woke family referendum. Two-thirds, more than two-thirds, voted no to alter the wording in the Constitution to include families which are not based on marriage. Second proposed change, on the wording around the role of women in the home, was defeated by an even wider margin. 73.9% of voters rejected it. Not only was this a devastating loss for the leftists in Ireland, this is the highest ever no vote percentage in an Irish referendum, completely destroyed with facts and family. Yet another reminder. There are a lot of Irish in America, and the political trends in Ireland are not quite so different as they are from the trends in America. This is a reminder to Republican politicians. The libs who are trying to tinker with the family and who insist that it's all been done, it's all over, because Anthony Kennedy and the Supreme Court decided to write some romantic poetry in the Obergefell decision. The understanding of marriage and family that has existed everywhere for all of human history until 5 minutes ago, that's out the window. It's gone. We can never get it back. It's a loser issue for Republicans. Move on. We need to accept the obliteration of the difference between men and women. We need to accept transgenderism. We need to accept this fake definition of marriage. We need to be able to buy and sell babies on the open market of the surrogacy industry. We have to. All normal family policy is out the window. Not so. Not so. And not so fast. Because even in Ireland, which was trending the wrong way, they shoot this thing down. Pro-family. Pro-tradition, pro-life, pro-don't sell babies on the open market like they're commodities of the surrogacy industry, pro-norms in the behavior between men and women, pro-men and women are different, pro-normal is a winning political issue for conservatives. The issues that the libs try to convince us are huge losers are immigration, guns, self-defense, and family and the right to life. They say those are huge losers. Not what the data show. Why did Trump get elected in 2016? Immigration and that open court seat. And why the open court seat? What are the big issues that the court has decided that have really encouraged conservative voters in recent years? Guns and pro-life. That's it. That's what it was about. That's what the election of Donald Trump was about. And now the squishes and the libs are trying to convince us it's all the opposite. And we need to embrace some ridiculous abolition of the family and the abolition of our borders and the abolition of the right to life. Nonsense. Nonsense. Head into the storm. The libs are trying to create a storm around those issues because those are winning issues for us. The pendulum seems to be swinging in our direction. Now, I know conservatives are very good at stealing defeat from the jaws of victory. Do not do it. Resist that urge. You know me. I'm a little bit of a tease on this show. There's a story that ties into everything we've been talking about in a very particular way, and it relates to Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady, who have gotten divorced, and there's all sorts of tabloid gossip about that. But Gisele Bündchen has come out, and she has inadvertently highlighted one of the really, really evil aspects of divorce. And it's something that all children of divorce know, all parents who have gotten divorced, they're aware of. And no one really talks about it, but it gets to the very heart of what's so wrong about divorce as a personal and political matter. And she said, the kids have different rules at Tom's house. We'll get to what that means tomorrow, but for today, it is Music Monday. The rest of the show continues now. You do not want to miss it. Become a member, use code Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.